Welcome to the September 20th virtual service of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. The service is led by our minister, Reverend Pam Phillips, and worship associate Stephen Henninger. The theme for Stephen's and Rev Pam's reflections is Renewing Our Commitments.
Good morning and welcome. I'm Stephen Henninger, your worship associate today. If you are with us for the first time, we're so glad that you found us. You'll find a link in the chat for our virtual visitor's card. Fill it out if you'd like to keep in touch with the congregation. And we invite you to also stay after our service for our virtual coffee hour. We'll go out to breakout rooms for a chance to meet in smaller groups for coffee and conversations. There are also many opportunities to meet virtually or on the grounds throughout the week. Look at the calendar on our website for times and the Zoom links. And we thank all the volunteers who make all of these activities possible. If you have a joy or a sorrow you'd like to share aloud this morning, you'll find a link also in the chat. Please fill this out if you'd like to share a joy or a sorrow with our congregation. I'd also like to hold up a few announcements. This is the last call for our strategic planning survey. The strategic planning group is beginning to analyze the data from our congregational survey and needs your input. I believe there's still a $30 Lefties gift card for a new participant, and it takes no more than 10 minutes to complete. Also, our annual auction continues in its new format. An online fundraiser. New this week are a fall and winter vacation lodging at Snowshoe Resort, a Fitbit, wood chips delivered to your home, a pickup dinner, and home brewing equipment, among other items. Check out the website for all the great items and services on our new fundraiser. And the worship team is seeking covenant readers. If you're interested in being part of our weekly service and reading our congregational covenant, please reach out to Alyssa Short. And lastly, a reminder that every Monday at 7 p.m. is our new Connections opportunity, the Monday Meetup. Look for the link in the announcements after the service.
Thanks, Stephen. And now I'd like to introduce Karen Hager, our Director of Lifespan Faith Development. Let us know about the kids.
RE classes began last week with terrific attendance in all classes. Our preschool class read the book Llama Llama Mrs. Mama, sang some songs, and enjoyed some rhymes. After class, the children made fuzzy yarn llamas. Here are a few of their wonderful creations. The K through 5 class watched the Pixar short Mike's New Car, starring Mike Wachowski from Monsters, Inc. They talked about why someone might want to buy something new and whether or not owning the newest item can make a person happy. After class, they made Mike Wachowski Oreo Pops. A fun and delicious activity that produced some pretty big smiles. Both our middle school and high school youth groups also had their kickoffs last Sunday night, and both also had great attendance. Both groups played online games and enjoyed socializing with their UUC friends. Also, our scavenger hunt continues this month on the UUC grounds. I've been getting reports that lots of families are coming to explore and search for what lies at the end of the hunt, and that everyone is having a lot of fun. Remember, this is open to everyone. So look for the first clue in tomorrow's LFD Weekly email newsletter, bring your smartphone, and spend some time in our wonderful grounds. You might see something new you've never noticed before.
I have seen a few people out on the grounds looking for the scavenger hunt. In fact, it's such a beautiful day. I think I might do it after the service. So I invite everyone to think about coming by the grounds and taking a walk. And I just want to take this time to thank all those volunteers who are doing such an amazing job on our grounds. It's beautiful. And I think we can thank them best by enjoying it. So
as Juniper McAllister, who celebrated a big birthday this past week, lights a chalice and you light your own, please join me in saying our words that we recite every week. We light this chalice for the warmth of welcome, the light of hope, and the fire of service. Now, please join me. I'll read our opening words. and today they're entitled Community Means Strength, and are by Starhawk. We are all longing to go home to some place. We have never been a place half remembered and half envisioned. We can only catch a glimpse of from time to time. Community. Somewhere there are people to whom we can speak with passion without having the words catch in our throats. Somewhere a circle of hands will open to receive us. Eyes will light up as we enter. Voices will celebrate with us whenever we come into our own power. Community means strength that joins our strength to do the work that needs to be done. Arms to hold us when we falter. A circle of healing. A circle of friends. Some place where we can be free. The weekly offering is a reminder and a ritual that we are part of the interconnected web of life. Each week, our congregation gives half of our collection plate to a local or a UU-affiliated organization committed to doing good works. This week's recipient at our virtual service is the New River Land Trust, which works to conserve farmland, forests, open spaces, and historic places in our New River region. Since 2002, they have helped protect over 55,000 acres of land in the region and over 26 miles of New River frontage. You may give through the information on your screen, our Give Plus app, or text FUND to 844-909-2617. If you have never used these, look at your order of service and the announcements for more information. You'll be able to give after the service as well.
So please join me in reading the words of our congregational covenant. We covenant to create a place of respect and kindness, and to build a spiritual community based on reason and courageous love. While we celebrate the words of our mission statement to inspire, create, and transform, and of this covenant, we affirm that our mission lives through our actions. And each week, we have an offering of our joys and sorrows. So if you have shared a joy or sorrow by going to the link, I'll be able to share those with you now. And as I read the joys and sorrows, I invite you, if you hear a joy, to put your hands up and do our jazz hands. This will be the way that we indicate that we are sharing in your joy. And if I read a sorrow, invite your hands over your heart to signify that we hold you and your sorrow in our hearts. This morning, we have a joy. It's shared by Lisa Vanilo. She's our administrator. And she writes, following our recent half plate donation of $165 to The Mountain, which is a wonderful retreat site, Bonnie of the development team tearfully called to express her heartfelt gratitude for our thinking of them during this time of financial hardship. She said, our donation replenished their spirits. We're sharing this so that you know how much our half plate donation means to the recipients. We share in your joy. I'm mindful that there are joys and sorrows unspoken. Share my own sorrow and one that you all share I'm expecting, which is the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. So as we get ready to light our candles of hope and remembrance, I'll ask Jamie to light the first candle for Ruth Bader Ginsburg, for her family, for all who love her. And I invite all of you to share a candle. If you'd like Jamie to light a candle for you, please write a message in the chat and he'll light a candle for you. One final candle for those joys and sorrows, the hopes and remembrances that remain unspoken that we hold in our hearts. Now I invite you to settle into a mood of meditation. Time to settle into our seats, to take a deep breath, especially for those who cannot take a deep breath for whatever reason. Perhaps it's because of the smoke in their skies. Or illness, or just shortness of breath. And if you like, I invite you to close your eyes. Do whatever it means for you to be fully present to these words written by Maya Angelou. When great trees fall, when great trees fall, rocks on distant hills shudder. Lions hunker down in tall grasses, and even elephants lumber after safety. When great trees fall in forests, small things recoil into silence, their senses eroded beyond fear. When great souls die, the air around us becomes light, rare, sterile. We breathe briefly. Our eyes briefly see with a hurtful clarity. Our memory, suddenly sharpened, examines, gnaws on kind words unsaid. Promised walks never taken. Great souls die, and our reality, bound to them, takes leave of us. Our souls, dependent upon their nurture, now shrink, wizened. Our minds, formed and informed by their radiance, fall away. We are not so much maddened as reduced to the unutterable ignorance of dark, cold caves. And when great souls die, after a period, peace blooms, slowly and always irregularly. Spaces fill with a kind of soothing, electric vibration. Our senses, restored, never to be the same, whisper to us. They existed. They existed. We can be and be better, for they existed. Now I invite Stephen to share his reflection.
When I first started attending services here at UUC, my friends were quick to say something to the effect of, "Wait, why are you going to church? Aren't you agnostic?" Their confusion is perfectly understandable. In my circle of friends, I was normally the only skeptic, non-believer, agnostic in the bunch. Yet these questions from my friends often made me pause and think, why is an agnostic attending a congregation? What I soon learned from both our weekly worship and the early steps I took to get involved is that our congregation and our larger Unitarian Universalist faith doesn't expect you to follow a set of dogmatic rituals or hold an ancient set of beliefs. You simply need to believe that love is more powerful than hate, that all living things, people, plants, animals, and microorganisms deserve respect and dignity, and that whatever you believe now may indeed change with your evolving understanding of yourself and the world. This realization made my committing to this congregation feel natural and inevitable, even for a skeptic. As Rev Pam and I discussed the service topic this week of renewing our commitments, we talked a lot about what it means to be committed to our congregation. As I reflected with her on my own commitments to our congregation, my work as a former advisor for YRUU, a worship team member, and a member of the strategic planning group, a reminder, if you haven't yet taken our survey, please do, that thread that connected all of those aspects of my congregational involvement were that I genuinely enjoyed them. I didn't feel dread when a YRUU meeting was on my calendar or wish I could be doing something else when planning worship with Rev Pam or a guest speaker. All of these commitments, there's that word again, filled my soul. Of course, renewing your commitment to our congregation doesn't have to involve adding a slew of meetings to your calendar. It could simply mean showing up at our weekly worship or attending yoga on the grounds every Wednesday evening or something else entirely. You see, the work of a congregation shouldn't add stress and anxiety or dread. Rather, we should hope that our commitments to our congregation make our spirits sing, that they draw on our natural gifts and talents to make our congregation that beacon of liberal religion that we know it is and can be. As you think about your commitments to our congregation and how you might renew them this year, maybe it's showing up to weekly worship determined to sing a hymn with a little more gusto or to donate a good or service to the fundraiser for the first time. Whatever your commitments are, know that your mere presence in our congregation, in this sacred community, makes a difference. Know that your gifts, talents, and perspectives make our congregation a beacon of hope, justice, and love for our neighbors. And if, like me, you may feel sometimes out of place in the spiritual community because of your faith, know that this congregation is ready and able to welcome your whole spirit.
Thanks, Stephen. When we planned to talk about renewing our commitments today, I wasn't thinking about this being the beginning of the Jewish High Holy Days, nor did I consider it when we chose our opening hymn, "Soon the Day Will Arrive." I've been wanting to use that hymn ever since I heard it earlier this year. Soon the day will arrive when we will be together, and no longer will we live in fear. There's a UU congregation in Texas that has been singing that song every Sunday, ever since they stopped meeting in person. We all long for the day we can be together here in this place. But as you heard, the song in our hymnal comes from a Hebrew song, and it is sung at Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year. Victoria Taylor played a version of it during our midweek gathering when she invited us to reflect on how we find renewal in this season. What better time to consider renewing our commitments than the beginning of a new year? And for many of us, autumn feels more like the beginning of the year than January ever does. Now, much of the observance of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, as I understand it, has to do with self-reflection, acknowledging shortcomings, and asking for forgiveness for past actions. Today, I invite us to consider not the past so much as the future. This year, especially the last 6 months, it feels like we've all been doing the best we can. So let's look ahead, not backwards. And what can we commit to in the year ahead? As I listened to Stephen, I was struck by how his commitments to this congregation don't feel so much like burdens as opportunities, not things that drag him down, but lift him up. That's the way it should be. You may have heard me say, no is as sacred as yes. I got that phrase from my former minister, Reverend Eric Walker Wickstrom, in his book, Serving with Grace, Lay Leadership as a Spiritual Practice. It simply means don't take on some role or job in the congregation because you feel you should, but because you want to. You feel called to. Making a commitment because you feel you should, especially a commitment that doesn't suit your skills or your passions or your schedule, can lead not to joy or spiritual fulfillment, but to resentment and exhaustion. We make commitments because something is important to us, but also because commitments help us to be who we are and how we want to be. Commitments should lift us up, not drag us down. I'm reminded of a favorite line from Frederick Buechner, who wrote, "The place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet." Now, Stephen asked you to think about renewing your commitments to the congregation, how you want to show up here in this space. I'll ask the same question, but invite you to think about commitments you want to renew to the wider world. And as luck would have it, there are ways you can do both at the same time. When I think about the world's deep hunger, I think of the need for racial justice. That need has been highlighted these past months by the protests in cities across the country and the world in response to the death of Black people at the hands of police, by the disproportionate rates of infection, hospitalization, and death of Black and brown people from COVID-19, by the disproportionate rates of incarceration and of poverty, and by the children who are most at risk of falling behind academically and socially because they don't have the same access to virtual education. So, how might your deep gladness meet the deep hunger of racial justice? Some of us have engaged in protests. Others have joined local efforts, like the Dialogue on Race, Virginia Organizing, and the NAACP. The anti-racism group here at UUC has been meeting to discuss books and articles, to attend and offer workshops like Living the Pledge. This year, they will be introducing and educating the congregation on a grassroots UU movement to adopt an eighth principle to go along with the seven you'll find in the front of our gray hymnal. This principle would have us work to build a diverse, multicultural, beloved community by our actions that accountably dismantle racism and other oppressions in ourselves and our institutions. You'll be invited to engage in learning through conversation, watching videos, and other experiences. Learning about what it might mean to build beloved community, to dismantle racism and other oppressions. That's one way you can renew your commitment to racial justice. I invite you to think about other ways, ways where your deep gladness meets the deep hunger. When I think of the world's deep hunger, I also think of the need for climate justice. And that need has been highlighted these past few months by wildfires that have been consuming the West Coast, not just forests of trees, but subdivisions of houses, and filling the air with smoke so thick that it blots out the sun and travels across the continent. By the tropical storms and hurricanes, so numerous that we've run out of the letters of our alphabet and are starting over with the Greek ones. By the ice sheets melting at an alarming rate, and with them, the oceans rising. How might your deep gladness meet the deep hunger of climate justice? A year ago today, a group of us met on the drill field at Virginia Tech for a rally to support the youth-led global climate strike. Some of you are engaged in local and national efforts to advocate for change, like the Citizens Climate Lobby and the Sierra Club. This morning, 16 people gathered to hear from Carol Davis about Sustainability Week, which starts today. And last February, a group of UUC folks met to create a strategic plan with teams identifying actions in such areas as advocacy, education and communication, energy conservation, waste recycling and composting, and landscaping. These teams will be calling for volunteers from the congregation to help move forward. Answering their call is one way you can renew your commitment to climate justice. I invite you to think of other ways where your deep gladness can meet this deep world hunger. Finally, when I think of the world's deep hunger, I think of the need for people of faith to engage in the democratic process. If we are to meet the world's deep hunger for racial and climate and all other kinds of justice on a local, national, or global scale, we must elect people who share our values and will work hard to effect change. This year, the political process has been especially fraught with concerns about the safety of in-person voting and the reliability of voting by mail. I've seen that some of you have already voted as in-person absentee voting started in Virginia on Friday. I hope to vote safely masked and distanced sometime in the next few weeks, but I need to find out more about the constitutional amendment on the ballot before I do. Now, this afternoon, the local chapter of the NAACP is hosting a webinar entitled Why Our Votes Matter, What's at Stake, that will include a panel and a Q&A talking about the constitutional amendments. And I'm hoping it will help me understand them better so that my vote will reflect my values. You'll find a link in the chat where you can register for that webinar too. I think it starts at 3 o'clock today. It goes without saying that we should all vote. But I also encourage you to renew your commitment in whatever other ways feel safe. I know that many of us have knocked on doors in years past, which doesn't really work so well in a pandemic, but there are other ways to get involved: writing postcards, making phone calls, sending money. Making a commitment to the democratic process will have some cost, whether in time or money, but it has benefits. When I was passionate about a candidate, especially one who seemed destined to lose because of gerrymandering, I felt better because I was doing something, helping voters learn where to vote, answering their questions about my candidate, hearing inspiring stories from those who shared my passion. They more than made up for the time I spent and the blisters I got from walking in the neighborhoods. My husband, Jamie, has been making phone calls this year, and I hear his side of the conversations. And I hear his deep gladness meeting the world's deep hunger. So I invite you to consider, how might you renew your commitment to the democratic process? So, this morning, as we reflect on renewing our commitments, I cannot help but think of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Surely. Her call to the law, to advocating for human and especially women's rights, and eventually her call to the Supreme Court. Hers was a call to the place where her deep gladness and the world's deep hunger met. She was a hero to many. Now, my former minister, Reverend Wickstrom, had a collection of Batman figures in his office. He had hundreds of them, literally. The kids loved them. He wouldn't mind me telling you about it. But my only super action figure is this one. The notorious RBG. As we mourn her death, and as we mourn our loss of this advocate for justice, let us be inspired to renew our own commitments to each other and to the world. Let us find ways for our deep gladness to meet the world's deep hunger. So, there's a second verse to our opening hymn, one that we didn't sing this morning. This is how it goes. Some have dreamed, some have died to make a bright tomorrow. And our vision remains in our hearts. Now the torch must be passed with new hope, not in sorrow, and a promise to make a new start. Wait and see what a world there can be. What a world there can be if we work to make it so. Let us move forward, yes, with sorrow, but also with new hope, with a promise to make a new start. Let us renew our commitments to each other and to the world. And let us begin by singing the fire of commitment with gusto. Amen and blessed be. Please join in singing one of my favorite hymns, led by Jared and Natalie.
Justice built by our courageous choice. When the fire of commitment sets our mind and soul.
In the weeks ahead, I invite you to find where your deep gladness meets the world's deep hunger. And I'll invite Jamie to extinguish our chalice, but not the warmth of community or the light of truth, and certainly not the fire of commitment. Let's carry that in our hearts in the week ahead. Amen.